Hello, and welcome to American Riviera Bank's Regional Pulse. This is Paul Abramson, Chief Technology Officer at the bank. Today, we have Phil Carpenter with us to continue our series on how AI is transforming business on the Central Coast. Phil is Chief Marketing Officer at Alice Technologies. Phil joined Alice with 30 years of strategic marketing and communications experience. He built the marketing function from the ground up at multiple high-growth startups such as Yallo, Latin America's leading conversational commerce company, and Sidestep, which created the travel search engine category and was purchased by Kayak. Phil also served as senior partner for Allison Partners, the global marketing services agency, where he ran the firm's six West Coast offices. In addition, he co-founded Whiskey Creek Properties, a real estate development company that builds multifamily rental properties in Phoenix, Arizona. At Alice, Phil is responsible for driving global marketing and communications, including growth marketing, product marketing, event marketing, and corporate communications. He received his BA from Stanford University and MBA from Harvard University. Thanks for joining us, Phil.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
So to get started, could you maybe just give a brief overview of, you know, the company and its purpose?
Sure. So we are focused on the construction category and specifically in the world of construction scheduling for large and complex projects. So think if you're building a nuclear power plant or a 50-story office tower or a big bridge, something like that. And as you might imagine, with a project that is that complex, there are many different orders in which you could do things. You could do A and then B and then C. You could do A and then C and then B. Alice helps you to explore all the different ways that you might build and applies AI to help general contractors and owners figure out the most efficient, most effective ways to build.
That's really cool. And so what are some of the most interesting insights along the way that the AI has informed your company and its customers?
It really helps you to check assumptions that you may make and challenge those assumptions. So, you know, in the world of construction scheduling, a lot of the people that are doing that job, the job of a construction scheduler, have been doing it for an awfully long time. They've been at it for 20 years, 30 years. They're often using technology that up until this point hadn't changed much, literally in decades. And so they are fairly confident that they know the right way to build. They know the best way to build. And because that technology is the old school technology is just that, old school, it doesn't make it very easy for them to try alternatives, to experiment with options. And that's the beauty of AI, Paul, is that it can run lots of different ways in which you could do things and help you indeed to determine like the most effective path. So what I think is intriguing is it can help people to realize that their assumptions may not actually be right. So for example, we had a client of ours that was building a subway in Asia, a big Asian city. And they were trying to figure out, gosh, could we make it go faster if we added a second tunnel boring machine? Those are those big things that spin around and like move, dig the earth out really fast. So they thought, well, gee, maybe if we added another one, we could go faster. Now, those are really expensive, Paul. It costs like $1 million a day to run one of those things. So it's no small investment. We were able to dig in there, pun intended, and help them to figure out that actually they couldn't beat the schedule that they hoped to achieve by adding a second tunnel boring machine, because the constraint, the limitation, wasn't how fast they could dig. It was how fast they could get the dirt out of the way, because there were only so many exits through which they could pull the soil that they stirred up, right? And so, you know, that's one of those things where you would think, oh, great, great, just throw more resources at the problem. It would solve it. But that's not true. And that's what this technology can help people do, is to explore the constraints under which they're operating and figure out where they might be able to bust through those constraints or where they are truly limited.
That's really interesting. I hadn't considered the the fact of running simulations related to these large projects. And it sounds like all of the different variables that you're tracking are pretty granular.
It's very granular. I mean, you're looking at, you know, what do these construction crews look like? How many people are there? You know, you're looking at materials for, you know, concrete and steel and, you know, wood for framing. You're looking at labor production rates. You know, all of these are variables. And that's what's the really interesting thing about these projects is at the end of the day, it's all variables. It's all math. And that's what computers are perfect at, right? They're great at spinning up lots of possible choices, crunching numbers, doing the math. And then it's the humans. We humans are great at then evaluating opportunities and making choices that best fit the business strategy, right? At least so far, the computers can't do that. You know, maybe someday they will, but right now, like that is in the hands of we humans to figure out, okay, great, with all of these possible ways in which we could build a project, which of those best fits the business strategy?
That makes sense. So it sounds like, you know, obviously risk mitigation is a pretty important component of the value proposition your company offers, saving costs, making sure things adhere to schedules, things like that. Can you talk a little bit about how AI has improved the risk mitigation capabilities?
Yeah. And, you know, the risk in construction is significant. Let's say you're a general contractor and you're on the hook to deliver a project, say a highway construction project, and you committed to do this by a certain date. And if you don't do it, you pay penalties. Every day you're late, you pay penalties. For the general contractor, therefore, there's a lot of risk. And, you know, it's not that hard to move fairly quickly from a project that is profitable when you at least first lay it out to one that is losing money. So being able to run these simulations to model the possibilities and then to do what we call what if analysis is really important, right? Because you can ask yourself and model it. You can say, well, what if there's a major weather event, you know, a hurricane, you know, a big winter freeze? What if there's a labor strike? What if there's COVID, right? All of those things are big, hairy problems and could really throw your project off kilter. And, you know, in the construction business, margins are pretty thin, Paul. Like traditionally, that's, you know, that's the way that this works. But if GCs can now use this technology in order to kind of model other possibilities and be as sure as possible that they're going to be able to deliver what they said when they said they'd do it, you could really actually increase the margins pretty significantly.
That's also very interesting. And it seems like there's probably an opportunity there to, you know, while you're increasing efficiency, probably lessen the impact, like environmental impacts on some of these projects too. Is there any work done there?
There absolutely is. You know, you can use Alice to help you model carbon output, for example, and determine, okay, what path could we take in our construction schedule that really limits the amount of carbon that is off-put. A great example of that is when you're thinking about the resources that are at work on your project. You know, there are a lot of big trucks, for example, that are moving things back and forth and back and forth on a construction site. Well, what if you can do some modeling, use the AI to help you figure out, how do I reduce the number of truckloads required to move things to make the project work? Well, that can really trim the pollution that, you know, comes from those trucks a lot. Also, you know, you can think about what's called form work, which is literally kind of the outlines of the shapes that you are building in concrete, you know, for a foundation. If you can reuse those pieces that make up the shapes, the formwork, you use fewer of them, right? So let's say you're using timber to make those shapes. Well, what if we could use less, right? I mean, all of this helps us to build not just at a lower cost, but at a lower cost to the environment too.
That's great. So outside of your industry, where do you see or anticipate having a pretty significant impact, either positive or negative?
I think the cool thing, Paul, is like we are just at the beginning of what AI will be able to do. And really, you know, we saw it for the first time, you know, kind of blew so many people away, you know, when ChatGPT and its brethren kind of emerged on the scene last year. And I think that was the first point where it became common understanding like, hey, we're on the edge of something really important. But now what you're starting to see is this technology is getting pushed out and impacting industry after industry after industry, right? I worked for a company prior to working with Alice that was putting AI-powered chatbots to work to help big consumer-focused companies with customer service issues and was able to, you know, reduce by more than 90% the amount of human interaction required to solve people's problems, right? Which was just wild. You're seeing AI impact the legal industry in really interesting ways. I was listening to a pitch just yesterday from a startup that was looking at how law firms were going to be able to, you know, use AI to do a lot of the work that, you know, kind of early career researcher, even, you know, kind of first year associate might do in pulling together legal briefs, right? So this is going to touch industry after industry. And, you know, in general, I think, look, what it does, which is really interesting, is it takes we humans out of the drudge work in life and work, and it helps us actually redirect our minds to more interesting problems, more interesting work.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the optimistic view. I agree. I had an interesting interaction with, I'm not sure if it was an AI, the other day we were traveling to visit my wife's family. And I was going to order a pizza from a local gas station, which is what they do in the Midwest. And I called the number and was met with an automated, you know, voice bot. And it did a really great job and understood everything that I was asking for. And it even upsold me on garlic bread and extra cheese for the cheese pizza that I ordered.
Increasing margins.
Exactly.
Look,
there you go. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, it's one of those things that you could probably pretty easily ensure consistency with your sales force to put in place promotions and things like that to find, as you said, extra margin.
That's great. I mean, this is literally just the start. It's going to be fascinating to see, you know, how the technology plays out in sector after sector.
So that's a good lead into the last question, which is, what do you see to be some of the most significant growth opportunities for AI? You know, where do you think it's going to really take off in the next 5 years or so?
I think there is, as I was saying, sort of, there's a lot of, I'm going to call it drudgery that we all have to suffer through, you know, in life and at work. And I think AI just has the opportunity to kind of like pierce through that. Anything that is research oriented, scientific research is a great example. I was just over at UCSB last night and listening to a pitch from a startup that was looking to make the process of searching for sort of scientific data in a university setting more efficient. And boy, in hearing the founder talk about what that's like today, that is not an efficient or effective or a pleasant process. Like, it's going to turn that, you know, on its head, I believe. And then, you know, this ability to ultimately help us make better decisions is also really interesting. You know, right now, as I mentioned earlier, like, we're in a situation where we are spinning up opportunities for people and then helping them to make choices. But I think increasingly in industry after industry, the AI is going to recommend choices as well. It's not going to make them for you. You know, humans should continue to do that for the most part. But it certainly is going to be able to kind of advance the argument. You know, imagine if, you know, the AI said to you, okay, Paul, you have this choice, this choice, or this choice. They're the three best that we found. and we recommend this one. It's a bit like what you see actually in the travel search sector today. You know, I was involved, as you mentioned in the intro, in the creation of the travel search engine category. Didn't exist till some friends and I kind of tackled the problem and came up with what was eventually at like the Google for travel. But now if you're searching, you know, something like Kayak, you're searching travel search engines like Expedia, you know, they're going to suggest to you, for example, the best route. You know, it's both cost efficient and fast, right? That's a great example of like algorithms at work bubbling up for you, you know, really good recommended choices. And I think just increasingly AI is going to get pretty good at that.
Agreed. And I think, you know, living on the Central Coast in close proximity to UCSB and everything that's going on there, I think we have a front row seat to the future of all these emerging technologies. We know Google's putting in their AI and quantum research facility out in Goleta. So that'll be interesting to see some of the impact locally and more broadly too.
Oh, there's so much innovation that's happening here. I was just talking to a guy the other day who works for Amazon, and it's their Alexa team that is here working right downtown on State Street, and are, you know, they're applying AI to making Alexa better. And think about that. That's a relatively small team. Let's call it 50 people, 100 people. But the work that they do touches literally millions of people worldwide. So that's a big impact. And it's all happening here on the Central Coast.
If walls could talk.
That's right. I'd have plenty to say.
Well, thank you, Phil. We really appreciate your time. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. To learn more about Alice Technologies, you can visit their website at alicetechnologies.com. If you would like to learn more about American Riviera Bank, please visit us at arb.bank.